Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining me today on Living Astrology. Living Astrology is part of the Empower You Media Network. You can find out more by going to www.living-astrology.com or by going to www.empoweryoumedia.com. If you would like to find out when our shows are airing, you can follow us at Blog Talk Radio under Living Astrology. Please consider liking us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Living Astrology and also Empower You Media. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye for now. Have a stellar week. Well, wasn't that fun? I just realized that Blog Talk arbitrarily moved my outro to my intro. We're really just starting the show. And if you're just tuning in, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm your host, Janet Hickox, and this is Living Astrology Radio. Well, for those of you who are out there wondering, a lot of you know that I live in the state of Washington and that we have been barraged and by an onslaught of storms, the likes of I haven't seen in many years. But to let you all know, I am doing just fine where I am. We have some minor flooding. Mostly the problems that we're having are right now there's a coastal flood warning going on because of high tides. And as many of you know, I live on an island and my front yard is the bay and the waves are crashing over my seawall, but they're not necessarily doing any damage. I'm safe and warm and dry, but thank you so much for those of you who have reached out to find out if I'm okay or not. Well, here we are. I'm hoping actually that in the window of this new moon tomorrow here on the Pacific coast at 2:29 a.m. Pacific time, that perhaps our weather will change a little bit and we can catch a break from some of this onslaught of rain and wind and the flooding that's been going on. This particular new moon is going to be at 19 degrees of Sagittarius, which is pretty cool because it is a fire sign. So maybe we can put a little warmth in there, maybe dry out the air a little bit, maybe send some rain down to Southern California or other parts that really need it. And the new moon, of course, always a great time to start something new, always a time for us to look at what portals, let's say, are opening up in front of us and what directions do we want to go now. Now, the new moon being in the sign of Sagittarius, actually the moon itself is in Gemini, but the sun is in Sagittarius. So they're holding the tension of opposites of the two signs, Sagittarius and Gemini, very much communication signs, signs of the mind, of curiosity and learning and education, all that type of energy comes through those two signs. But there's something else that's really important about this new moon that I want everybody to understand, and that is that when we're dealing with the energy of Sagittarius, we're also dealing with our beliefs, our philosophies. In fact, the greater religions and belief systems of the world also fall under the energy of Sagittarius. So any of the ideological type things that we see going on in the world, the struggle between Muslims and Americans and all of these different, you know, terrorist attack type things that are going on are a conflict of ideologies or a conflict of belief systems. Now, because you and I can't necessarily go out there and change the world, if you think you can, if that is going to create a whole lot of frustration for you because that isn't your job, the only thing that you can really control in the world is how you see things or how you are going to react to things, then it means that we all have this opportunity with this new moon to take a look at what's going on with our inner core, with our inner beliefs. And that is the only thing that you really have the power to change. So maybe with this new moon, we can take a look and all the different beliefs that we have about who we are in the world, what it means to be a Christian versus a Muslim or a terrorist versus, a regular person. Or in this case today, we're going to be taking a look at an interesting dynamic between two other interesting words, sociopaths and empaths. So I'm taking the show today totally out of the realm of astrology for a bit to talk about this interesting subject, because as soon as you bring in those words, then, of course, my Gemini mind has to go and find what they mean. So My guest today is Tracy Lockwood, and she is a psychic medium as well as a spiritual leader. But before I bring Tracy in, I thought we'd go back to English class for a minute. You remember having to define words and get what they're how to spell them and all that good fun stuff. So I want to find a definition for these two words that we're dealing with. Whenever it is that I can't figure out something, and you know, I may know on one level what it means to be a sociopath or what empaths are, but I wanted to see what bounced out of reading the definitions online. So I went to dictionary.com, and here is the definition, the working definition then of sociopath. A person with a psychopathic personality whose behavior is antisocial, often criminal, and who lacks a sense of moral responsibility or social conscience. And the next definition down for that one was someone whose social behavior is extremely abnormal. Sociopaths are interested only in their personal needs and desires without concern for the effects of their behavior on others. Now then juxtapose that against empath or empathy. The psychological identification with or the vicarious experiencing of the feelings, thoughts, and attitudes of another. And then another definition, direct identification with, understanding of, and vicarious experience of another person's situation, feelings, and motives. The projection of one's own feelings or emotional state onto an objector animal, which I thought was really interesting. So now we have at least a definition of what those two words mean from the dictionary.com site. And so now let me bring in my guest. Tracy Lockwood's first memory was of the faces of those in spirit visiting over her crib. In her 20s, she was proficient in the spiritual gifts mentioned in the Bible, speaking of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, visions, dream interpretation, and the laying on of hands. She explored several religious philosophies, and in 2010 was formally recognized as a clairvoyant and empathic medium during her training at Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Science in England. She is executive minister for the Universal Mind, radio show host of From a Medium's Perspective on Revolution Radio. She teaches psychic and mediumship development, offers private readings, spiritual counseling, and specialty sessions on animal communication, spirit art, past lives, and lithomancy. We'll have to find out what that means. That's a whole nother interesting word. So welcome, my friend, Tracy Lockwood. Hello, Tracy. How are you doing?
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
You're a little faint, but I can hear you. I hope the audience can hear you.
Thank
if you're
you so
in
much.
The chat
I'll
room and you're not having, if you can't hear Tracy, let me know, and we'll bring her sound up if we can.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Tracy, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, you might want to bring my sound up. I'm talking pretty loud here. Anyway, thank you so much for having me on your show. I admire your work as an astrologer and am just tickled to have been included on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
You're most welcome, Tracy. And, you know, this is really interesting territory because there's a lot of what I would say behavior going on in the world that is of a sociopathic nature. So I think this is kind of a timely subject, one that takes me completely out of the realm of astrology. In fact, I'm not even sure that, you know, I was very uncomfortable reading about these words. So I want to talk to you about why should we even, you know, be interested in this? How do we come to putting those two words together in a sentence for a radio show? What is that all about?
Yeah, they actually appear to be diametric opposites, and that's exactly what they are. They're on a continuum of awareness, and that awareness has to do with other people's emotions and our own emotions. And at one extreme, we have sociopathic people who feel that they can only feel what it is that they experience. And so they're very focused, they're very narcissistic, they're focused mm-hmm. very much on their own needs and wants and cannot really feel what someone else is experiencing. And, you know, we think of horrific examples, but, you know, statistically, there are 1 in 25 people are considered sociopathic, and that's a pretty alarming statistic, but a very true one. So the reason that it would even be important for us to discuss it from a medium's perspective or from an astrologer's perspective is that our clients are affected by the behaviors of sociopaths, whether or not it's been their mother, their father, maybe a teacher or religious leader. I thought that the definition that Paul Simon gave is really good, saying that a sociopath is a person with an antisocial personality disorder. And it's probably the most widely recognized personality disorder. A sociopath is often well-liked because of their charm and high charisma, but they don't usually care about other people and think mainly of themselves and often blame others for the things that they do. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, we have our empaths, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are empaths because people that would care about astrology would find this very, interesting. And empaths are people that can feel other people's emotions, often at a great distance. For me as a medium, I not only feel them at a very extreme distance, and I have an example of that. But I also feel them for people that have crossed to the other side. Now, at the farthest extreme of empathy, someone might have trouble differentiating their own emotions from those of others. They might not even be able to tell what their own emotions are because they get so bombarded with information and feelings and sensations that come from other people. So obviously somewhere in the middle of that continuum would be a better functioning region where where you are aware of other people's emotions, but you're also in touch with your own. And what happens is a kind of pairing. You know, we say like attracts like, but also opposites attract. And the most predominant thing that a sociopath is interested in is your pity. And that really, the first time I read that, I thought, what? But if you think about it, if you are only caring about yourself and you want to extract the most resources from another person, then what would you do? You would want their pity, because then they're going to give you, especially an empath who cares and feels, you know, duty-bound, you know, very codependent, yeah, perhaps, to take care of your needs. They're going to do everything within their power to alleviate your distress. And the dynamic that builds between the two is really detrimental to an empath, and it's happened. I have personal examples that I'd be happy to share later, but, a sociopath sort of has that complete disregard for rules and is chronic liar, and is basically mirroring emotions. And when you first encounter someone who is sociopathic, if they're interested in you in a relationship, they may even appear like the most wonderful person that you've ever met in your life. They're anticipating your needs. They're very perceptive. They might be telepathic. In other words, able to read thoughts, sort of like a predator could. Not that all telepathic people are predatory, of course. I'm telepathic, and I hope I'm not predatory. But being able to really read the nuances, the micro expressions of people, and anticipate and become chameleon-like at the beginning, and then an empath is going to feel like, there's such balance. There's such a wonderful balance here, and feel safe. But that dynamic starts to shift, and an empath will be drawn further and further into that. Sociopaths can also be very cruel. They're very confident in what they do because they don't have a conscience. So they will do things that are absolutely inconceivable to someone that does have a conscience, and that is their advantage. And there's, you know, the reason that it's important to know these things from, say, a psychic or mediumship perspective, or for people that are intuitive, we often have relationships with people that have been cruel, and then we get out of them and we're damaged, and we don't know, why didn't I see that? You know, I spent 8 years of my life, or 12 years of my life, or 2 years of my life dedicated, and I had no clue that they were doing la 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 la, you know?
Yeah.
And the reason that we don't see that is that emotions are the language of the soul. And if you think of a pyramid, at the very top of the pyramid are words, and they say that 7% of communication is words. That's in the physical realm. I would say it's probably pretty true in the other one too. And then we have our symbols and gesticulations and all those kind of thing, innuendos and nuances. And then at the base of everything, we have our emotions. And so the largest bulk of our communication comes through our emotions. But we are sentient beings, and we have receptors at different levels of our being. Some, if you want to think of the chakral system of energy, those balls of energy that are rainbow-colored that run up the spine, starting at the bottom with red and going to purple or violet over the head. You know, our perception is taken in at all of those levels. But if somebody is playing with our mind and manipulating our mind and our heart's involved, then we're distracted from our gut that tells us something is not right. And we're kind of trained to look for things. We're looking for signs. We're looking for tells. We're looking for behavioral patterns, you know, because we're all intelligent and we're all learning and we're all psychic. Everyone is psychic. Everyone has the ability to feel other people's emotions. But if there are no emotions, if they're just behaviors there, sometimes our heart, our need for connection with other people, or our mind, wow, the synchronicity around that, it's just impossible that they would have come into my life just at that time, and they were so perfect. And what happened? Nothing happened really, other than they're manipulating at a mental level, and they have no compunction of affecting the heart level, because that gives them control over our thoughts and feelings, and makes us compliant in meeting their needs, and we get left behind. And even, you know, they say that even you know, one of the most alarming examples was probably Jeffrey Dahmer, who was just a really charming man. And for those of you that are listening that don't know too much about Jeffrey Dahmer, Jeffrey had a little penchant for seducing young men. And Jeffrey was gay, but he didn't like to admit that he was gay. And so he would seduce young men, and he would drug them, and they'd be watching particular videos together. And once they were sedated, then he would try to lobotomize them, because he thought that if they could be alive and they couldn't see him, that he could have sex with them and they wouldn't judge him for being gay, and he could have everything. So he tried over and over and failed over and over, and he collected the bodies of these men and kept them on hand and ate them because he loved them. Now, that's like a super example of narcissism.
Now, you know, that begs the question then. I mean, to me, I'm listening to you say this about a person like Jeffrey Dahmer, and, you know, isn't he like edging over to the psychopath level as opposed to sociopath? I mean, is there, are all sociopaths psychopathic, or are all psychopaths sociopathic?
That's a very good question, and I am certainly not a psychologist. My information came from reading books and trying to understand the people in my life, and so I might not even be perfect on it, but I've learned of it, you know, how to apply it to my skills. The difference that I understand between the two is a psychopath is very organized, and they tend maybe to be the more dangerous because they're literally intentionally manipulating at a high level, and they are you know, sort of the smooth criminal kind of thing. The sociopath may be very disorganized. They might be really charming and good at work and able to function in that, but then go home and drink all day long, or maybe they won't go to work because even though they're capable and intelligent, they're usually highly intelligent people, and often think that they're smarter than we are. And in a way, because we're looking for some kind of indication of an emotion, you know, if you would assume that if somebody cheated on you, for instance, that you could read guilt or you could sense some difference in their behavior. But if you have just absolutely no conscience at all, well, you're going to act just fine. Like, hey, how are you doing? Good morning to you. Let's have some coffee, you know. And no indication at all that you had just spent the last night in somebody else's bed, you know, because they don't telegraph. And so in doing my readings, it became really interesting to understand some of these differences because, you know, my first husband, I had started reading about some of this, and he was actually officially diagnosed later with having, I don't know, they said he had trouble understanding socially acceptable limits, which I think has something to do with sociopathy. But anyway, so that's when my interest started. But, you know, I'm a psychic medium, and they said that when I did some of the reading about this, they were saying that people may not recognize this. Even professional counselors and psychologists may not be able to identify a sociopath, and I'm just going to keep that term rather than bounce between the two there, sociopath and psychopath, because they're so smooth. And so, but you know, seriously, I'm a psychic medium. This is what I do. And I had a lover about a year ago, for about a year, that I had known for 8 years before that. And, oh, my God, I never saw it. And I so a lot of our listeners today may have been in relationships and saying to themselves, well, why didn't I see them? Why didn't I see this coming? Like, I started, yes, it was great, but then it changed, and how could I not see this? And people get trapped in relationships with people that outwardly, you know, the public acclaim for them is like, oh, you're so lucky to have that person as a significant other. You're so lucky to have someone so fantastic with you, and you're in your personal living hell, not understanding why they can't see the other side of this person, and then wondering how you even got in that circumstance in the first place. And so, thankfully, my spirit guides and angels are very kind to me, and they helped me through my readings to understand something. And do we have time? May I share an example of what I saw?
Yeah, I would love to get to an example, but before we get to there, for those of you who are just tuning in today, you are listening to Living Astrology Radio. My guest today, Tracy Lockwood, however, is a medium and a spiritual advisor, and we are actually discussing the energy of sociopaths and empaths. So we're off the subject of astrology and loving every minute of this. I think this is really pertinent, though, Tracy, for those of us who do readings for people, to be aware of this. And before we go on to some examples, I have a question. Are people who are empathic, more susceptible to getting in trouble with a sociopath?
Yes, absolutely. And it isn't so much that to say they have no emotions, a sociopath does in the sense that they have their own emotions, like, where's my dinner? Why didn't you do that? Why did you eat that? Why did you look at that man? You know, that kind of thing. But it's all more objective, like detached emotion. There's no connection and feeling. And so an empath is going to try to fill that gap because empaths tend to be some of the most loving people on earth. They're the ones that they can't stand it when someone else is hurting. They want to make it go away. They want to fix and heal. And many of our healers and counselors and, you know, spiritual counselors and people out there doing readings for people are trying to touch people's lives to evoke a change that's positive to them. And it's not so much that we're aware that we're taking our work home, you know, because we might have very strong vows that, well, I'm not going to take care of anybody else again, but they can be very misled because the initial behaviors of that, and I had found a list of, I don't know whether you'd like me to share it, of, you know, signs that you might be dealing with a sociopath in a relationship. I've been kind of collecting
them. Oh, absolutely. Let's share them because I think our audience needs to know, you know, what kind of signs or things that they can be observing in their friends or family that might point them, you know, out as a sociopath.
Yeah, and it a lot of them, some of them are behavioral in their behaviors, but you should always listen to your gut. Don't detach from your gut. Your gut is your intelligence. We often think our brain is our intelligence, but it isn't. Our truth center, our solar plexus chakra, our knowing, you know, our point of knowing, that's our true intelligence. But these are some signs. You walk on eggshells after a while and start to feel on edge, like you're not even at home in your own home after a while. And yet you have this really strong desire, which is counterintuitive, to be the one and only for this person. One is that when they met you, they might have put you on a pedestal and made you feel that they were in awe of you and that you were the most special person that ever came into their life. And now they're treating you as if you're disposable. And it leaves you feeling really confused. That confusion is not part of a healthy relationship.
Right.
One is you might be valued based on how you make that other person look. So they might have chosen you sort of as an ornament to ornament their life. You know, we've heard the term arm candy, but that's true for men or
trophy
women.
Trophy wife, those kinds of things.
Trophy wife, yeah, you know. But you know, women can be sociopathic too. It's not all the guys. But if you ever fail them in that regard, then they don't feel validated like they expected. Like if I walk in the room with her, people will think I'm the shit. You know, sorry, that's probably a bad term on there. Sorry, I apologize.
No.
I meant it colloquially. I'm embarrassed now. but anyway, you know, but then if they are not feeling any longer validated or they have switched their focus, then they're just going to discard you. In the beginning of a relationship, they might want to seal the deal really quickly. It's like, oh, we just met 3 weeks ago and he's already talking marriage. And I'm using a female example because I am a woman,
right.
But anyway, you know, they really can push you, like, let's seal the deal. Let's get married. Let's do this. And if you start to question the timing or start to waver, then they're going to accuse you that you're not committed. That could be one. Another is that you can catch them in a lie and then another lie, and then another lie, but they're accusing you of lying or cheating. And what's happening is they're projecting their behavior onto you. So if they're blaming you for things that didn't even cross your mind, yeah, they're probably doing them. They don't have any fear. So they might drive like just a total maniac on the road and then like almost hit another car, but then they're not getting unnerved. But they kind of find it funny if you make a facial expression or show fear or anxiety, because they don't have fear or anxiety. So to you, it's like, oh, look at the little puppet dance, you know. They might appear very needy, but they're actually very controlling. So they might want to occupy all your time. They might want to text you all the time and you kind of think, oh, they really like me. But then it can become either really annoying, or it can start occupying every corner of your life. You know, the focus, you know, I think of them as sort of energy vampires, too.
Well, you know, that's exactly what I'm kind of getting, that feeling, that's kind of, you know, the psychic equivalent that we could, you know, say here, that other people, you know, people might recognize. So if I'm in a relationship with someone, and after listening to some of those different things that you just rolled off, what can I do about it? How do I get out of it? I mean, are these people dangerous?
Well, most of them are not going to be knife-wielding psychopaths, thankfully, you know. But they may have sort of silence of the lambs tendencies, because they really don't feel you. But the worst damage is done, because what looks like a wonderful, solid, great relationship gets relegated to, you know, cold, insensitive, divided, separate, you know, where you feel like a stranger in your own house, and there's just no connection there. So I think that it's really important for us to think about our energy balance. You know, relationships are supposed to be 50-50. And, you know, I've heard it argued, no, your vote's supposed to give 100%. Yeah, but we're talking about a total, and half of it should be coming from one person and half of it from another. And if you find yourself always meeting the needs of someone else and having your needs put aside, or one of the patterns of behavior that I like to express that clarifies that is that you get candy, 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 slap candy, 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 and you're just like, did you just slap me? It might be verbally. Do you know what I mean? A sort of underhanded, insidious comment or something in the midst of what for you is a peaceful day. So why would, it's just random. Like, why would you say something like that?
So they're trying to keep you off balance, maybe. They can control you by you not knowing what to expect from them.
It's more of a power dynamic and a mind control thing, because they are occupying your focus, just like someone who has is dealing with an addiction, you know, alcoholism or drug addiction. Sociopaths are often sex addicts also. So they are occupied very intensely with the object of their addiction, whether it is, you know, it might even be a need for pity to an extreme. But what happens is when someone has that kind of issue that they're struggling with, and many people do struggle with that, and I'm not saying people with addictions are sociopaths, absolutely not, but because we all wrestle with that. I've got a little carb thing going on myself that I'm going to conquer this year, God willing, and the creeks don't rise, but when they have an addiction, then the addict becomes the center of the household. It's almost like an energy vacuum that goes to that person. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, what am I getting out of this?
Yeah, what's my payoff? Because otherwise I'd walk away.
What's my payoff? Because, and it isn't a mercenary question to ask that. It is reasonable in a healthy relationship to have your needs have equal weight as the needs of the other person. And there's that dynamic that drifts back and forth across that 50-50 line, you know, where, you know, someone's not feeling well today, and so the other person maybe brings some soup in bed, you know. But that's not every day. That's not every day. That's just there. And then when you get a headache, maybe they rub your neck and, you know, we work back and forth to take care of each other. So if you find that you're caretaking, that you need to decide, you know, is your energy being well spent? We often talk about time management, but I like to think about energy management, you know, and happiness, and happiness too. Listen and feel to whether or not, are you happy, you know? And that doesn't mean like, wee, I'm entertained all the time. It's like, are you content? Do you feel that there's an equitable distribution of energy exchange between the two of you? You know, is it more effortless than creating a great deal of effort there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, some comments coming in from the chat room. Somebody says it's called gaslighting when they move something and constantly keep you second guessing about your sanity, and they do this to break your confidence and spirit.
Oh yes, yes, I know exactly what they're talking about. That actually occurred a few times in the relationship that I had there too, because it's like I put my keys here. No, I don't know where your keys are. And I had coupons disappear. I had accumulated $56 in CVS bucks, you know, and I had them in an envelope, and then they were just gone. And it was incomprehensible to me that he had stolen them. Like, so I figured I'd misplaced them. And no, I never saw, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. You know,
wow.
Gaslighting is definitely a characteristic, absolutely.
So I want to take this in a little bit of a different direction for a moment and ask
sure.
the question, how do people get to become sociopathic? I mean, is this something they're born with? Is this something created from abuse? Or how does that happen for someone?
So some are born and some are made. And, and you know, then our empathy gets going because, you know, we know that when someone's been terribly abused, that that it has taken things from them. But that the dividing line is, I will give you my compassion because you had the abuse. But when you start to abuse me, that's the deal breaker.
Right.
It's not that, you know, you have to have that line because I love what I read on Facebook one time, love plus wisdom equals Buddha. And a lot of our listeners are unconditionally loving people, you know, and that's a wonderful thing. And we should unconditionally love people because it's a beautiful world and there's a lot of beauty in our world. And wonder in our world. But if we're constantly being hurt in relationships, the boundaries that define our comfort are incredibly important to divine. So it is love plus wisdom or love plus boundaries that create that balance within ourselves. So we can respect ourselves in the morning.
So, again, let me just quickly say to the listeners who may have just tuned in, today we are talking to Tracy Lockwood about the difference between sociopaths and empaths. And it's a fascinating subject, Tracy, because, you know, as I'm seeing lots of different comments in the chat room about, you know, people who've experienced this, I wonder how many, if we took a poll out there, how many people have actually had this experience in some way, shape, or form in their lives. Talking to a friend earlier today, you know, I think in our conversation, we decided that she had been living with a sociopath for many years, you know, married to him and not maybe necessarily knowing that that's what the case was. But as you tipped off some of these things, certainly he was displaying those characteristics.
Yeah, I would venture to say that there is no one that has not been affected by that type of behavior. And I think that the toll that it takes, you know, our desire for connection, the injury that occurs when we don't have that needs met, our self-blame. Why didn't I see that? Why? I'm an intuitive person. I'm a good person. Why didn't I see that? And it's because there isn't information to be seen. There isn't information. It's actually the lack of information that is the information. It's the lack of connection at a solar plexus level that is missing, that is the information. If there is not that connection, we think about a heart connection or a mind connection. Obviously, we can have sexual connection also, but there's that part of us that wants to deny candy, 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 slap candy, 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 candy. We just want the candy. We don't want to have to put the shocking statement or the incomprehensible behavior in. We don't have anywhere to put that. We have no file for that because we've already said it's a good relationship. I didn't know if you wanted me to share one of something that I saw in a reading that helped me very much to learn some of the things that I'm sharing.
Yes, please,
today.
Please share.
Okay.
Let's see. We've got about 18 minutes left in the show, so I just want to give you a little bit of a timeline. So please feel free to share the story, but know we're, you know, I can't believe we're close to the end of the show.
Okay. Sure, sure. Oh, well, you're providing a wonderful space for discussion. Thank you, Janet. yes, this particular situation occurred after my relationship. I've been parted from him for about a year now. And I had been doing readings at an expo. And the last person came up to me and she said, "Do you think you can connect to my mom?" And I said, "Sure, I don't see why not," having never had a problem ever in my entire lifetime since I was a baby, ever had trouble connecting to a soul. And so she sat down, and I didn't know what I was looking at. I had sort of a fractured image of someone. There was a sort of mirage, for lack of a better word, with two layers that sort of on a plane that it was in front of me, and then off to my left, usually where I have spirits stand if they want my attention, there was this young woman, and so I had a feeling it when I was reading, telling her what the woman looked like. I said, "You know, she's got dark long hair, and she sounds French, and she's got tan skin, and she's talking about being sexually abused as a child." And she says, "No, my mother was 6'4 or 6'2, like an incredibly tall woman and kind of Germanic stock or whatever. And I couldn't see her." And I was like, whoa. Okay. And so I didn't want to say, "Oh, I'm just really tired, I'm not getting anything," because that wasn't the case. I just didn't literally know what I was looking at. So I made a deal with her that if she would come to my office, that I would give her a free reading to try to figure out what it was I was looking at. And so we scheduled a time. And in between time, I'm talking to my guides, and I'm like, "Yo, what up? Like, what is that?" You know, and they just kept showing me the same picture. And I suddenly understood that the mother was behind that empty mirage, that she actually had no emotions, and that she was projecting. And I realized that she had had DID, which is a dissociative identity disorder. And so she was projecting, even in the afterlife, the image that she wanted to be seen, this, you know, poor little tiny girl that, you know, had been abused. And as soon as I got that, the mother flashed me back to something that had been done to her in childhood And this is graphic, so those of you that are empathic, put your little protective suits on there. She had been chained, like the type of chain that you would use on a car tire or something to pull something, into a box that they called the sweat box, but I think was one of those old refrigerators that were wooden on the outside, and just left there starving as a child.
Oh, my gosh.
So when my client sat down, finally, when we met for the interview, I mean, the reading, I asked her, I said, is there a chance that your mother could have been a sociopath? And she said, oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently,
the light bulb goes on.
Yes, and well, at least I knew what I was seeing, but it wasn't very pretty. And so my client had had a silence of the lambs childhood, just to put it in pleasant terms. And she floored me. She said, yeah, that's my mom. I just wanted to tell her that I love her.
Aww.
And I was just blown away that this emotion could even exist for the kind of, I mean, because I was getting it on all circuits there, what had occurred. And she said, when her mother was younger, when they were younger, for just a fraction of time, they would see a glimpse of, she would see a glimpse of who her mother really was. And that she loved that part of her, the part that laughed, the part that could be like a child. And she just wanted to tell her that. And when she said that, her mother's aura blushed on the other side, just a little bit of pink. And she said, would you please ask my mother, why did she decide to live a life that was so awful, where she was tortured as a child, as a wife, and died a horrible death? Why did she choose this? And the mother explained to me that in a previous life, she had been very cruel to people. And so like a penitent, she believed that she deserved a life of suffering. She chose a life of suffering and came back. And she was crying on the other side and saying, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that in my need to give penance for the life that I lived before you, that I was doing to you terrible things in the process. And it was the beginning of healing for each of them to a certain degree. Not that healing hadn't begun for the daughter, but it struck me how amazing that even on the other side, this woman could not accept that there was anything good about her at all. And there was literally only one person on the planet that ever existed in her life that could tell her that you have something good, you are lovable. And it was her daughter who saw her in that tiny window of time and was able to express it. And I just found that amazing. And it also showed me what a sociopath looks like in, an auric sense, an energetic sense. And since all of us are psychic, there normally are lots of colors in people's auras moving around, et cetera, and we respond to them and we can feel what's going on for them. But you might have a lot of trouble trying to read a sociopath because there isn't information there to read.
So Tracy, for the listeners here who may be recognizing that somebody that is in their life is like this, any advice as to what they can do or how they can protect themselves?
Well, I think that that's a very difficult choice, and it would be very individual with, each particular situation. But I just would encourage them to realize that they aren't crazy, they're not imagining things, that their feelings do have value, and to really consider whether or not they want to spend the rest of their life in service to the needs of another person that isn't going to compensate them emotionally,
mm-hmm.
and decide whether or not that's a healthy situation for them to stay in.
Right.
You know?
Right. Wow.
So,
great. Thank you so much,
yeah.
Tracy. This has been a fascinating conversation. Now, I want to give you an opportunity to share with the listeners how they can get a hold of you, because you also do psychic readings or medium readings for people. So
yes,
give
I
us
do.
Your website,
and I also
find
teach,
you, et cetera.
Pardon?
Let everybody know how they can find you.
Oh, thank you. Yes. And I do also teach psychic and mediumship development. And sometimes, you know, people are interested in readings, and I do all kinds of different readings for people, depending on, I tailor them to the person. And if they would like that, I would like to offer a special discount to any of your listeners that listen to the show live, or if they listen to it recorded later. If they
mm-hmm.
wish to call me, they can reach me at mediumtracylockwood.com. And Tracy is spelled with an E-Y, T-R-A-C-E-Y, so it's mediumtracylockwood.com. And if they mention the name of your show, Living Astrology, or they mention your name to me, Janet, I would be happy to take $30 off of my regular prices.
Nice.
A full reading for them, just as a friendly professional thank you for allowing me on your show.
Yay, that's very nice. Now, so if you would like to take Tracy up on that offer, again, her website is mediumtracylockwood.com. I've posted it chat room. I will also post her information on my website, living-astrology.com, on the Living Astrology Radio archive page. Now, Tracy, there are a couple callers in here. I want to check real quick and see if they're calling in for
sure.
readings or if they had a question for you. My intention was that we would have more time for readings, but this was such a fascinating subject. Hold on, I'm going to bring someone in. I'm not sure who this is. Hello, this is Janet from Living Astrology. Who am I speaking with?
Nancy, how are you?
I'm great, Nancy. Thank you so much for calling in today. Did you have a question for Tracy or any comments, or were you calling for a reading?
This was phenomenal, and I'm just wondering, you know, I recognize some people in my life, and they keep trying to get back in. How do you keep these people out?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your question. In terms of keeping people out of your life, it's a decision about how you spend your energy, and it's a process of healing the energy within you too, because we have to learn that we didn't see them, that we didn't understand the dynamic that was going on. And so forgiving ourselves is really important. I have a affirmation that I use to sort of shift my focus. It's actually designed to build your protective aura, but I use it for a lot of things, and basically it focuses your energy on the higher vibrational things. And if your energy in your auric field is filled with these high vibrational things, then you become less subject to intrusions from lower vibrationals. And I can share that if you would like.
I'd love that.
Okay.
Me too.
Thank you. You would say, I, and then your name, ask the ministering angels of higher intelligence and the teachers of my inner band, and those are your guides that work closest with you, to unite with me in the building and strengthening of my protective aura, so very, very strong that only the vibrations of truth, light, love, peace, knowledge, wisdom, healing, and understanding be permitted to touch, influence, or use me in any manner, and I thank you.
Wow.
And that's it doesn't sound very floral, like calling on the purple flame or Saint Germain or anything like that. But it's very basic, and if somebody wants a copy of that, I'll post it on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/mediumTracyLockwood, and also people are welcome to friend me, facebook.com/psychicmediumTracyLockwood. I'll post it on both those pages, and I'll mention Janet in the underneath it or something, so there's a hyperlink to her too on that.
Yeah,
okay?
And then I'll put the link to that on my website as well, so with the information from the show, so that you can get that. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. That sounds really empowering to me.
Thank you. It was given to me by another medium, and I've passed it on to many, and actually gave it to a lady a few months ago, and she said, "Oh, another medium gave me that 32 years ago." Wow.
Oh my gosh.
This is a goody, oldie but goody.
You got to love it when something goes around like that. Nancy, did you have any other questions for Tracy?
No, you know what? That was very helpful, and I think I will utilize that really well.
Yeah,
thank you, Nancy.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful energy yourself, and you have a very healing energy and a very strong earth energy, and maybe just sometimes knowing what to not see or what to look out for, what to not see in people's energy field will help you in the future too. So
it was so helpful too that you mentioned, gaslighting, because that was that happened. Oh my gosh, it was awful. So that was very helpful that you said that, because you really do doubt yourself initially.
Yeah, thanks to somebody who chatted in with that. We appreciate that mention. Yeah, that's an excellent, excellent thing. Also, sexual addiction tends to be rampant among sociopaths, because they're not looking for an emotional connection. They're looking for a chemical reaction. And so whether it's you or a can of SpaghettiOs, it's pretty much the same.
Thank you.
Gosh. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for calling in today and for listening to Living Astrology. And, you know, please feel free to take Tracy up on her offer to get yourself, you know, $30 off a reading. We can all use it.
Well, I really appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So, Tracy, thank you so much for joining us today. We are only 2 minutes left. I know I have another caller on the line. She happens to be a friend of mine. So if you're listening, Linda, I will call you back in the next couple of days and do your reading for you without being on air. Also, you know, Tracy, this is one of those subjects I think that's very timely in the way the world is. Would you consider that some of these things that are going on, bombings you know, the shootings and things like that, is that a sociopathic behavior or a psychopathic behavior? And just your opinion.
I wonder if it's a combination of, you know, the people that are orchestrating that type of thing. You know, they're the few, not the many. Like in any population, we have our crazies. I had traveled to Egypt, and someone was scared of me. It was right after Jeffrey Dahmer had done that. They thought I was going to eat them. Well, I'm just because I'm American, I'm not going to eat you, you know. But but I think too, it has to do with a desperation to have the message heard. I mean, you have to imagine how much stress someone would have to be under for them to strap a bomb on their chest to try to get some attention for the issues that no one is listening to, you know, and the anger and the hurt and the neglect that lead to that. You know, I think more dialogue about some of the issues of fairness and, you know, instead of judgment, looking at what are the needs. There are very real needs that are driving these actions, you know, opening that dialogue is probably And how that's done, I really don't know. I'm not a politician.
Oh, no, but thank you so much for weighing in on that. That's going to have to be the end here. I want everybody to know who's asking me in the chat room if Tracy is going to be on the show again. We will definitely have Tracy come back on the show,
and she will
also be on Empower You Media in a video about Tales from the Other Side as we get into January. So be looking for that. I'll be sharing that also on my website at living-astrology.com. Thank you all for joining us this evening, callers, listeners, chatters, and especially you, Tracy. Everybody, have a stellar week.
Thank you, Janet.
Thanks, Tracy.
Welcome to Living Astrology Radio with your host, Janet Hickox, human design consultant and intuitive.